I'm Horace. I'm Horace. The evening animus. Who is a fine person. Who has dignity. That's one of the terms that's around on that. The lowest is the boor. The lowest is the boor. He doesn't have the intellectual or the emotional perception of the lowest. And the Amoris has the good leader, the good quality. The king is nice, it's fine, it's a good neighborhood. And then there's the person who is on the higher level. On the higher level, and that's the Chacham is different. There's a difference between the Chacham and the King. There's a difference between the Chacham insofar as the Chacham has a different features. Because that's only the Golem. The Golem is a Golem superior to the Amoris because it has a different feature. It has not a feature. But the Chacham is more than that. The Chacham is a different kind of personality. And the Chacham is the person who uses knowledge to penetrate the world of reality. And therefore he lives in totally different planet. And the Chacham, there are many, many different characteristics of the Chacham, but essentially the Chacham is the person who has applied his knowledge to his personal life, to the world of reality. And the chassid is one level higher. The chassid is one where all the energies are directed towards the vehicle, towards the vehicle. I'll just mention one thing about the vehicle, that the really is known, the purpose of solitary tool is the vehicle. And for us today, I mean, it seems that it's not even mentioned almost, let alone the stress. And the reason is because we're far away from the from what it means. We're at a loss for, we don't even know what we are doing anything. The Rambam says that the whole Rambam is full of cooking. The back of the skin, at the ground, the deer fishing, constantly all the enemies. Well, the Bias Hashem is really the highest level. But what exactly, how does one go about to be involved in the Bias Hashem? That remains an issue. It's not what people don't even consider right now. They understand the Peril and the Gemara and the Musa, but the Bias Hashem is something that we have a hard time even approaching. No one will talk about it. The last thing I spoke about it was the culture of up. But we find ourselves at a loss as to what exactly is it. That's how far removed we are from perfection. It shows you that there's something which is a major aspect of Yaga. Alien to us, it shows you how far removed we are from perfection. But one thing I would say about the concept of the Bias Hashem is, and that is that every state involves a discerning of the Bias. Every state involves a discerning of the Bias. Wouldn't connect. See the need to see flesh. Your parents. The taste of the food is by top. The very first. You're not going to go too far. The very first taste. Where is it mentioning the very first taste? It's an interesting thing. Usually you block over this part. It's on the end. But to say the very first state which involved Adam and Eve, where the Pasuk says, "Vanocha say Olam Mikol Chaya Kasoda." After us, the sin was seen. So Vanocha was more cunning than any other of the Chaya Kasoda which God created. Hayomer lo Yisra. So he said to the woman, "Ach Yomer lo Kim lo Shofim Mikol Lei Kadon." Did God say you should eat from any of the eight of the gun? But Toma Isha on the Hashino, the two eights of Danoka. And the two eights of the Shof had gone. Oma Lakim, your Shof in the memory. The Lord Sugu God. Come to me. Okay, I'm not going to go into a lot of the dress. Go to the other stuff. But then what does Noka say? Vayoma Noka Shalu Isha. Mama Lakim. You won't die. To Yodea Elohim, to the Yom Acholcham Yimenei, the Mishkos Elohim, the Yishin Elohim, the Yodei Tov Hara. The first one is Kodesh, the second one is Kodesh. The word Elohim could be in Kodesh, could be false. So sometimes when a sofa writes a sofa Torah, they have to write like a Torah. You're smart. You have to write the whole Sefer Torah, the same Sefer Torah. And a special kavanah, you have to have a special kavanah when it comes to that Torah. The Shema shel Torah Zohar. It's a special kavanah. The Shema kavanah. So it's a special kavanah. And you have to know which one is Torah, which one is Torah. So if for instance you have by loving around the Torah, by the amazing Gao, where it says, says Elohei Nocho Elohei Avram. Elohei Nacho is Chol. That means what is up. So over here also, it doesn't mean what is up. But over here, it's the Masechet Tachanun. To Yodea Elohim, that's Torah, and he's God. To the Yom Acholcham Yimenei, the Yitzchak Yom Yitzchak. The Yitzchak Elohim, Yodei Tavara. He didn't mean to be like God. He meant to be like Rav Ravaya, angel. Angel, yeah. Rav. Okay. These powerful beings. So what did the Nacha say really? What did the Nacha say really? What did Nacha say? The Nacha said one thing. The Nacha said that you're making a mistake. You see, that this fever was for your benefit. Okay? And the answer, he said, no. So he says, the reason why almost innocent. God told me to die, I'm not going to die. Yodea Lachim, to Yom HaFachim, to Yom HaFachim, to Yom HaFachim. The Yishin Kelohim, Yodei Tavara. On the contrary, this would be a great good for you, if you could Yishin Kelohim. You raise yourself again. But God doesn't want you to eat from it, because he knows that this great good will occur to you, and you'll be, the Bikelohim, the other Kavarah, you have a new kind of perspective, and a new kind of experience. That's a beneficial, enjoyable, good experience. And God is purposefully keeping this experience away from us. There's not doing some kind of prophet. So you see, then the prophet says, that Tevah Isha Kisova Isha Maka, that is Shava Hulai Naya, the Nechmora Isha Hashia, Atikach Mitzio Vatoka, Atikon Gam Le'isha Ima Vayoha. So, after that, only after the Isha thought to herself, that what? Only after she accepted the advice of Nachas, which was, that God really is keeping things in good ways. It was a misconception in the relationship of Hashem. Jain va teva isa kitova isa mapa va kishava ila nana nana nana. And then the tiger went to look at the tree, and the tree was very desirous, and it drew on her imagination, it drew on her tiger, and then she took an empty way. So what does it tell you? It tells you an interesting thing. It tells you as much tiger as she may have had, as much desire as she may have had for the earth, she never would have eaten from the earth. If it wasn't preceded by a misconception in relationship to what that was. And this is really the prototype of what this is the prototype of. It means, in truth, it means that every time a person is a protest, it always seems to want some sort of misconception, a lack in the objective, a lack in the objective. Okay?
This is the name of a Yoko, it means he also talked about something like
this. Same thing. Same thing.
Okay. And when I mentioned this to Howie Borg, he brought me two writers, I think they're very good writers. It's principle. One is one I'll mention one first. The one that you can say that. By Tshuva we mention one time, it says that the Rambam says, by Tshuva it's not enough for a person to say that Tatati Avisi Tatati. Tatati Avisi Tatati. Not enough for you to say Tatati Avisi Tatati. But what must we say? On our sin. You see that on our sin precedes our sin. That is on our sin. That's why the Rev. One time mentioned, he says that in the Sevi Yashamna, there are two thoughts. One is right. I was never there since, or honor. But the rest of it has to be on our sin. Why? Because on our sin means, the expression of on our sin means that he's moving towards God. And every Avera means a lack of the other. That's why you see that it must be on our own. Must be in some way. And another writer he brought, is just an example, a very good writer, is from the Yom that we say on the Tillam, on Yom Levi. Where it says, it describes the Ashrayim, it describes the Ashrayim, Vayom lo yirakor, v'lo yovim lo kei yakor. So what does David HaMelech say? Do you bore in the omic, see the mosha tafila? I know it's the ocean of Allah Yishma, and the ocean of Allah Yadis, and the ocean of Allah Yafia, and the lama that endorsed. Okay? So we see that the Governor Mel describes the Assyrian, but he describes the Assyrian first to give you their philosophy. What's their philosophy? Lo yura kova, lo yavna wa kaya. That's what Governor Mel criticizes him. Not on the issue, but on the mistaken idea. Do you bear and bomb? Do you not have to speak? I know it's the origin of the word. It's not. The fact of the one that created the ear can't hear means to say that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the method of the means of communication, then he certainly is aware of how communication takes place. So it's impossible that he has no knowledge. The criticism is a criticism on the record, the lack of the difference. Lack of the difference. Yes. Telemark is saying is, and note the ocean of Wayuka music, that the one who creates the means of communication has to have the knowledge of communication. It doesn't mean that a Kaddish Baruch Hu does everything that he creates, that he does that thing. Just showing you that he has the knowledge of things. Yes, it can't be that he doesn't have the knowledge. It doesn't mean that in other words, if he creates man, a man has the potential for doing good and evil, it doesn't mean that he has the potential for doing good and evil. It means he knows. He has knowledge of it. That's the obvious. To say that a Kaddish Baruch Hu doesn't have the knowledge, that's an impossibility. That's an impossibility. But it doesn't mean that he partakes of everything that's related. So he creates the physical, it's not physical. It doesn't mean he creates the physical that he means of physical, but it means he has knowledge of the physical. He has knowledge of it. It's impossible for a person to create something when he doesn't have any knowledge of the whole framework of the system. even as a Marshal. A person, the process of a person to create a computer that you can say no. He didn't know how, because the thing was now the himself was unable to even in the process. It doesn't mean that everything that he creates is like a thing to create. That's a non-mentioned model. Yes. If he perceives that car's boss as one who is trying to deny her of the best, that was it. But that means to say that that notion had to perceive the best. Without that notion, it could never be. As much taiva as the gave off, as much as desirous as it was, and as tempting as it was, nevertheless, the temptation could never affect it if it wasn't preceded by a mistaken idea about it. That's what the problem is. That's the prototype of all faith. The faith of Adam is the prototype of all faith. Is in every faith that a person does, it means it has to be preceded by a lack, a concern, an absence, a defect in his knowledge of a higher power. Yes. What does it mean when it says to Gael Akin? But it means to say that a person in the back of his mind is not convinced that the mitzvah or the avera was given to him for his good. It means in the back of his mind he thinks that really it's not good. Really it's something different. But for some reason, God doesn't want it to happen. It means it's a prevalent idea. The lack of that idea, I'm not saying that every single Avera is dependent upon the same notion. I would say that it's definitely a prevalent notion. But it means to say the universal is that every time, every Avera means involved, the lack of the difference. Haskell Yadosh, and that's the prophet that spells it out most clearly. That this is the only good. You're right that we came up with a positive idea about how to talk, an impossible, a human impossibility. But, it means to say, but the Rambam is wrong. The Rambam mentions that the only type of knowledge mentioned about God is the removal of the false idea. It means the negative false idea. But apparently we're at a stage where our false ideas are so great that we don't even know how to approach removing them. That's the state that we're in the mind of God. Of course, as I mentioned to you, I mean, the idea of Akharas Bar is the most pervasive idea insofar as our human nature is concerned. Everything that we do, insofar as our human nature is concerned, revolves around the idea of our thought. Revolves around the idea of explaining this. But that's the central, that has to be the most central, the most significant, the most pervasive idea in our existence. Because it's the basic idea of all of reality. Any mistake in that area is a mistake that expresses itself in every area of our existence. And that's why, I mean, it's not a matter of, you know, like a lot of people think of Chazal. Imagine Chazal, you say it's much greater than us. But imagine that they were davening, for instance, instead of davening for 5 minutes or davening for 2 hours or whatever. I mean, there are Gemaras that mention about the overview. I'm not talking about it. But that's wrong. It's wrong because the greatness of Chazal, that itself is a great. Because you're projecting your idea of greatness and you're trying to expand it in order to give yourself a picture of what Chazal was. But it's not true because their idea was qualitatively different. The reason why Chazal's philosophy is superior to ours was because the idea of a kadosh baruch hu was different. The essence of tefillah is only l'shem Hashem. Tefillah can never be any better than the basic idea of da'al l'shem mi atamo. Da'al l'shem mi atamo. That's the essence of tefillah. And so far as you don't know, then that's the inherent limitation of the tefillah. The inherent limitation of the tefillah. The tefillah of the Gedolei Yisrael, I mean all Gedolei Yisrael throughout all generations, is measured not by a barometer of emotion, or even kavana. It's a different kind of kavana. Because the concept of God is something. You see that for a different level of idea. Okay. Yeah. The Ramah of the Mar that was the Ramah of the Mar of so you define the person that could know how Lacha, and still that's not his idea, his knowledge of studies, is not translated, not being suppressed, but it's not. That prevents him from translating his knowledge into the world. You see that Avodah Zarah would be, somebody asked me to talk about it's the foundation and it's the goal. Still, because there's different levels. The only clue that you have, important one, is that Avodah Zarah is the crossing line. In other words, Avodah Zarah is the opposite of this. The person is not an over to what is up. So then he's the fear of the idea. The negation of Avodah Zarah is in the fear of the negation of Avodah Zarah. Okay. What? And more negation is after that, which bring the person to a higher level. Okay. And you mentioned you didn't think about God for 20 years. There's something wrong with such a kind of a... I'm not blaming him, I'm just saying that it's a phenomenon that you see that exists. Yeah, but I think that the different levels of... that the Amharic is also a very nice person. Very nice person, a wonderful friend, and he'll do you a favor and he's good. But it's not the same thing as the Chacham. The Chacham is different. But even the Chacham's favors are different. The Chacham's chesed is different. The chesed of the Chacham is different. What is the difference between the chesed of the Chacham and the chesed of the Amharic? It is strange. But the chesed of the Amharic is a psychological difference. It's rooted in psychology. The chesed of the... That's the Amharic, okay? Chesed of the Amharic is the word is rooted in psychology. The chesed of the Chacham is not rooted in psychology. It's rooted in metaphysics. It means that he does suffer because of a certain metaphysical perception. It has nothing to do with your psychology. It's an interesting thing. You have a taste in the Torah. You have a taste in the Torah. Liberation. You take liberation. Where the difference between the two types of suffering is made. Where? And then what? The case is by Eliezer. Eliezer, Abed Avram. What was Eliezer's suffering? Wasn't son, I mean, after all, he's making sex. All right, there's all kinds of machlokes about Nichra, about what it was supposed to do, what it wasn't supposed to do, a lot of taxes, and we can't talk about it. I'm not going to get involved in that. But he gave a test. What was the test? What kind of a test? He said like this. He says, he received his assignment, and then he says, Yitach Hever Asar Gamalim? And he went to Nochor, to Ian Nochor. So it says, and he says it was towards evening when people come out to go to the well. So the Yomar, Hashem Alashay Adonai Avram, Hashem Alashay Adonai Avram, Hashem Alashay Adonai Avram. I'm going to be by the well. If you know son, see you, Yosef is of mine. And the daughters of the town will come out to draw water. Because it will be the maiden that I say to to her a pina chadet rester, and give you something to drink, the omelet to say, and she says, yes, drink, but she adds something, the gam gamalechot, and also I'll also bring water for your camel. Now what does this mean, that she loves animals? What was the test? The test was to see what the nature of our test was. If a person asks someone for something, if they're an amhar, I don't mean derogatory, but if they're a good person, the nature is they want to respond to that. But if somebody will come to your house, let's say, and tell you a whole pack of stuff about job, money, this, that, terrible judgment, personal judgment, financial judgment. Okay? Then the person will say, look, all I'm asking for is, give me $100 to help me out in the next couple of days. The person who heard the request will know it's not. Thank God, all those girls, they're only asking for $100. The person will think to himself, be cautious, don't mention any of the things you mentioned before. Maybe you'll get an idea, let's see something more. So that's what kind of a person is this? Not a bad person. Bad person will throw somebody out of the house. Not a good person. But the reason why they do chesed is because their chesed is rooted in psychology. It's like a logical phenomenon. A person wants to respond to another individual who asks him for a favor because of a certain identification, certain psychological reasons, but it's a psychological kind of chesed. But the psychological chesed is limited to what? It's limited to making the other person a person. You will never go beyond that point. There's no reason to. Because he's psychologically satisfied as soon as he feels happy that the other person is happy with his response. What he's trying to do is he's a nice person, and he wants the other person to have a good response. So the moment he evokes a good response from the other individual, that's it. There's no reason to go any further. That was the test that I was. I answer like this. He says, when I ask the maiden, I say to her, Akina Khanat Vashta, I'm thirsty, could I ask something to do this or this? So the response would be, if it's a psychological factor, the response would merely be to make that person sure. You can't even drink. Don't worry. What's the Gangamalak master? Gangamalak master means he notices he has another problem. It's not just him, he's tired, he's thirsty. But a person who's tired and thirsty is not in a condition to have a gemara master drink also. So she noticed that there's a situation here which demands more chesed than the person requested. So if she was just going to satisfy the psychological chesed, then she only would have responded to what it was. But if she really does chesed because of a metaphysical reason, it means because the person truly loves chesed, and because they believe in chesed per se, because they want to have an avatar deal, a universal avatar deal, and they want to help a creature of a kind of gospel, then Gam Gamalacha. We have another problem. He says that's a problem. So Eliezer was in the Beis Avraham. The Beis Avraham, Avraham was the Yom HaChesed. He knew for the Shachar. The test was to see if this girl will, what kind of yes, is Bala Shachar? There are a lot of people that do Shachar. That's no Myra. It's nice, but it's not a Myra. The Myra is Shachar that's done because of the truth. Because of the perception and the loss of practical form. That's why he said, Osho Chachto La'avdachal Yisra. Avoid that shit, teach the Chachar in our day. Rashi says, Osho Chachto Ru'uyu Hilo, to pay the mother's chachodah, is to die and punish the Vesha Salah. That was it. The friendship, that's the friendship between the two types of chachar. Psychological chachar, which is the chachar of the MRS, and the true chachar, which is the chachar of the Chachar. The extract metaphysical factor. The different kind of the paradigm is really is because we make it's faced by the Malach. Why you saying if I know right, you say? Why you also talking to Tessa for all?
Yeah.
The whole, you just know what my Russian regulation is not like it's that's what I'm talking about. The whole, you're right, okay, the whole scene that the Terry described, the long view, was not simply to satisfy the request. It was, he was the one that initiated the fact. Begged them, please, let me do this for you. It was an initiation of something, that's right. That's the example of such a part of the where did that take the beginning of the year? Very good. Just like by the yard, it's a buck or a rut that long. It's a buck or a rut. And where do you see that it's a metaphysical question? That it's a metaphysical question? Sargent says, how do you know that Avram's question was a metaphysical question? Because, the Sargent says, what Avram says, Vayoma, Adoshim, Alma, Sargon, and Al Abdecha. It means that what does it mean? How can we compare? That's not psychological question. Psychological question is not greater than Kabbalah Sinatina. Kabbalah Sinatina is a metaphysical phenomenon. It means because this question was a metaphysical phenomenon. It's different kind of thing. And that metaphysical phenomenon, that kind of an activity, is a greater activity in terms of perception than even a direct correspondence to the thought of God. Yes. Metaphysical question is rooted in Navajo. It's a recognition, it's like a Raman story. It's also a concept that today is very alien to us, and if you just skirt the issue, what it means is like this. It means that a person's love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is where the Raman puts it, his love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes him to investigate the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with his deal. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with his deal. And when he understands that, and he gains the knowledge of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Merachim. And the greatest attribute of HaKadosh Baruch Hu known to man is Hashem Hashem Shalrachim HaKadosh. That's the name of it. When he understands that, when it comes to an understanding of it, the Rambam explains that a person that reaches that level of knowledge, that level of understanding, perceives in the exact same manner towards the Buddha. This is the exact same manner as he does. He's not motivated by the psychological. He does it completely because this is what he wants to do, because he perceives this as the goal. Not because there's any kind of psychological reward. It's not rooted in psychology. It's not rooted in psychology, and therefore it works out differently than you would think. We'll see. We'll see a little bit later. I want to discuss a little about your psychology. What? Again, right. It has to do with your deification. It has to do with your deification. Tied intrinsically to your deification. Cannot be accomplished through any other method. And in the world where you see all these people like Doyen and Lahabdu that are known for their great kindnesses, I mean, these type of Doyen and Zawachan and Nuns and things like that, you should know that is nothing more than a vet. Psychological phenomena. Nothing to do whatsoever with Shlucha. Nothing to do with Shlucha. It's questionable whether it has to do with psychological. But I'm just saying that it has nothing whatsoever to do with Shlucha. Yes. Since the Avodah Zohar, since they have no knowledge, they do it for them, it's impossible for them to have any Shlucha. Absolutely impossible. Everything doesn't work. Everything is completely wasted because his whole life is based on a notion that doesn't exist. So it means that everything that moves him as a human being is a notion in his mind, in his head, that does not exist in reality. That means that his life did not partake of any kind of reality. And that is true of all the avodas of the avodas are. It's true of anyone that doesn't have the idea of God that Yahadith declares, and no matter what they do, it's completely, absolutely false and totally wrong. It has to be wrong, because the idea of God is the most central idea. And if that notion is false, every whole life is false. That's all lesson to the honest. The lesson to the honest. The fact that people don't know this causes many of our Jewish leaders to praise praise giants for things that they do, Ogdei Vorozov, which is itself, I mean, it's itself a question of the Yamarath is now about the funny, about the funny. I'm not supposed to say, Ogdei Vorozov is a handsome person, I'm not supposed to say he's a good little man. And this is the national right. Because that leads a person to become people attracted to this type of thing, mostly. So therefore, the emotion becomes attached to it, and then the mind there becomes attached. But it causes, you'll see this response of this simple concept of Yedioth Hashem is not known is what causes Jewish leaders to respect and to compare activities of going to the activities of the Yadav. They pray, we pray. I mean, some people say things like that. I mean, it's the right of it. It's a lot of God. When you say that, what you're saying is that the notion that makes no difference whether we have the true notion of God or a false notion. That's a lot of God. It's against the law of God. The problem is that the generation is so far removed from the deos of Torah that in basic areas the people are warped. An unfortunate situation. There is such a thing as a recognition of good that people do, even though it's a matter of doctor Shalom. There's different things that a person has to know how to do. You have to know how to doctor Shalom. A person must seem to be disrespectful. Not to say everything that we want to say because of the fact that we live among them, and we have to recognize certain good traits on their level. But to take that activity and to make it a model for us to follow, that's a different kind of a statement. That's a different concept. That is wrong. But we certainly should be mafetot. That help us. That's definitely without a doubt up here. And there again you find the source. As a matter of fact, I feel personally that Jews today don't have enough of us to tell to this country. If you look far in history, you see that there never was any other country in the history of the world that treated Jews like America did. I mean, take Jews in and not only take them in, but take them in and not be much of a part of their equal rights. I mean, it's an unbelievable thing, but there you find also that many religious people act towards America as if they're living in Russia now. I mean, it's a thing, phenomenon. And it's prevalent among leaders also. I had a leader get up at a public situation, criticize President Bush for the fact that that Israel was condemned. I mean, there has to be a certain recognition. I mean, you're in this country of, look at the Gemara, a certain recognition of where you're at and a certain responsibility that you have and a certain authority that you have. And certainly for the United States of America, you have the greatest authority to tell. No question about it. It's not a very popular idea in the religious world. But there's no question about it that we should. Many of the founding fathers, many of them are intelligent people. They want to know what it was. They believed in deism. They believed in God, and they didn't believe in formal religion. And they definitely deserve to be recognized as a possibility that the kind of chesed that they recognize, that the world recognizes, is only the chesed of the Amor. Only psychological. Psychological chesed, because therefore, if I feel like I don't want to recognize Goyim, I don't want to hate Goyim. There's no shaykh, it's not the chesed of Tzach. your fucking defensive. That's the only reason. When to demonstrate across those, and when to demonstrate a recognition of suffering, and how to do it, and what it means, and the whole, everything comes before it. Everything comes before it, because there's no kochman about it.
Yes.
Listen, the Rambam mentions it in the Ma'ariv Rukhman. The premise of the Torah is that false is evil, and truth is good. So therefore, you can't say a person that's living in a false world is in his framework, he's acting properly, he's a good person. There's no such phenomenon. That's a phenomenon which everybody will generally believe, but Yah does not. Everybody will believe and say, look, in his framework, he was a very nice guy. But that is not good. The good is more than being nice and being psychological. The good demands for Adam, it demands not. And the moment the basis is wrong and false, then it is. Okay? Sit back and just blame that Zuckerberg. Okay? You can't. And even if you blame yourself, in a way, you say, well, we're not really predicting that's what is happening to us. That's also wrong. You have to, a person has to recognize that the reason why, like the Rambam says in the Morning Rukhman, the Rambam says that most of the curse that a person has in his life, he brings upon himself. And that's an important, that's not just, the Rambam's not just saying, telling you a nice stuff. I mean, it's a theosodic object. The Morning Rukhman gives you a theosodic object. It's theosodic. It means to say, what does the Torah say about, who is the one that has the, was able to be about the peace, the greatest peace? It's Mama and Mama. But it doesn't say any words in the Torah, it's a good idea, right? Because it's a good idea of suffering. It's a good idea of suffering. That's what it is. But it's any way there was a mate. On the contrary, it's crazy to talk to me because it's able to have peace with all the surrounding nations. So, you see one thing. You see that the reason why we don't have peace today is precisely because we're not on the level of Chachamim. Precisely because we're not on the level of Chachamim. So if you don't act as Chachamim, and I'm not a person who has knowledge of politics, but I assure you that if you look into the situations, you would find that in the situations, even where we think we're being exceeded, no doubt we are, I'm not denying that, but I'm just saying that I am certain that it's true. There's many things that stop that we don't need to fight. Not to deny it, but you have to recognize that the primary obligation of a person, of a Jew, is to utilize Chacham. To be a Chacham, what is the perfected person? What does the Rambam say? It's not the kind person, not the Amara. It's not the person who has great intellectual qualities, not him either. The Chacham is the individual who combines both and uses intellect to penetrate reality and to understand and to act decisively and discriminately. That is the person who can bring about the truth is bring about Shalom. Who brings about Shalom? Chacham and the Chacham and Marvin Shalom Bala. Okay? That's what I mean. It's a basic philosophy of Nazareth, but it's a philosophy that the world isn't ready. The world isn't ready for this. For this part of Israel, they haven't come to that kind of a recognition. They haven't, at best, they're involved in the chesed of the Amara, not in the chesed of the Amara. I don't think, and I would say that this is definitely a kind of yada, that this could be brought about through any other method than through perception of God. I just don't think it's possible. I'm not saying it's not possible to find an individual who could be perfected, even though he didn't see color. That is possible. And Rambam mentions it, some of the Greek philosophers. Simply, it has to be there, because Rambam is himself. So it must be that the minhag nishmat, that the human species is capable of accomplishing such a thing on his own. But we know the fact is that such human beings are so rare that it could never even, it would never even get off the ground. Never even be a rare, isolated person. The only way to do it on math and numbers would be through evolution. That's the reason for it. That's the only way. It requires a commitment to the ideas that are contained in the text. Without that commitment, you just can't do it. You could be the greatest college person in the world. Who are you talking to? You have to ask all the students. They don't understand the premises of the ordinary. And the whole politics becomes a very subjective, identifying kind of phenomena. You identify with this area, we've got the thing, so coming, and this, and you, all the corruption that takes place because of identification, because of psychological type of phenomena. It's all because people are prone to the goal at best is a certain psychological kind of good. It's not an absolute good. Because if it's an absolute good, and there wouldn't be no Satan. There wouldn't be some preference to their cronies and to their friends or to anybody. It would be totally equal. They're based completely on one goal, on who is the best person who's capable to achieve this particular objective. It wouldn't be based upon identity. But the whole system is based upon it. Why? Because the goal that's before a person's eyes is at best a psychological kind of goal. And you can't accident that. And that's why it's an impossibility. I say that your venture is impossible. The best thing to do is really to try to protect yourself, your family, your friends. That's the only thing you can do at this time. Well, that's the idea of the Martian Messiah. Martian Messiah means that there will eventually arise a situation where the world will recognize. But until that situation occurs, I think it would be foolish to think. I see it in every single case. So we certainly see it for an average, even an above average individual, who is going to be surprised just by his perceiving the true idea. A long haul to be able to change the political system. Political system is insane. People and ideas already that you just can't remove unless you show these people that their whole approach is wrong. How are you going to do that? Without Torah, I don't think it's possible. Impossible. The point is, it becomes, I know we sidetracked it, but it was good, because I'll tell you what, it shows you, and you really could see the desolation that has to take place. The moment you leave, the concept of Am Chacham V'Nabam. As long as it's not an Am Chacham V'Nabam, it's not going to work. It can't work. It's impossible. And you become just like any other nation. It can't. Talk about that Torah as if it's a mystical kind of power. I mean, it's a person. If a Gödel tells you this, then it has to be true. So once it becomes a mystical phenomenon, okay, then everything that he says is coming from the same power. Okay? Fine, sometimes one of my community members on Mr. Love about that Torah. So how can we go against that Torah? What's the thing? And I say, yeah, the rest of the is not frozen, but not everything that says is not frozen. Okay? The point is, the mistake is that people confuse. What is that story? That story is not a mystical force. We have different classifications. We have Nebuah, we have Lachodesh, we have Chachma. I mean, what is it? You tell me it's Lachodesh? But the devil says it's Lachodesh? Is the devil claiming that I'm telling you this in Lachodesh? I don't know what the devil is saying. But they project onto the gutter this kind of a phenomenon. The truth of the matter is, they're wrong and they're right. There is such a thing as God's Torah, but it's not the way they perceive it. That's really another thing you really see from the case. What really impressed Torah? What really impressed Torah by Yerushalayim Torah? What impressed him? Interpreted the dream. Torah saw a lot of people interpret the dream. I'm sure, with all the interpretations in the dream that he did in his lifetime, there are plenty of interpretations and many of them came to it. I don't have any doubt about it. That's in many instances. So what was so great about Yerushalayim? Because another interpreter. Go on. The answer was the truth. What happened was like this. At first he gave me an interpretation.
And it was appealing to him. Appealed to father and such things. Okay. But then, what was the dream? The dream was what? It's going to be 7 good years. 7 bad years. So, that's a very nice divine. But now, it looks pretty tragic. The good years are very nice, but after there's going to be suffering. So, if it was one of his chachamim, either they say, that's it, it's a tragedy, or they would say, we have to try to do some mystical type of work to change this a mystical kind of powers now we have to start working on in order to get rid of these bad years. Okay? That's what they would say. So Yosef HaTzadik said, living all together, he said, what's the problem? Okay, now we know the fact. Now I'll tell you something. Now you can become very rich. These bad years are not a chassaron. It's a wonderful thing. You can turn this position into a money-making situation. What do you do? He says, the chinesh affairs is wrong. He says, during the years when you have plenty, everything's very cheap. The law of economics, supply and demand. So the wheat was going to be very cheap. Too much. So what do you do? It's cash. People are giving it away. It's going to rot. You take it, and you get a chumim who know how to store green. It wasn't just like those normal chumim, a bunch of it, an edifice. So for you, it was very hard to keep the rest. It was very moist climate. It's not climate, but it's not. So it says you have to have chumim work out a way how to preserve the green, to be able to rest. So it says you actually have chumim, you buy up the green, it's very cheap. And then, when the famine comes, now you make a fortune. Now you can charge whatever you want for it. And that's what he did. And that's when power heard that. He says, you won't find a guy like this. Never Kazal say and Mr. Jose says, they told us if you go from one end of the world to the other, you're not gonna find a guy like this. Because what Yosef Atari showed Paro was that there is that this is not a mystical, you know, I'm not a mystic. Bila died. It's all Chochmas Hashem. It's not me. So it's not me. You see, the magicians are working the opposite now. What do they say? They say, it's me. I have certain powers. So therefore, they try to use their powers. He said, it's Bila died. This is a gift of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives man Chochmas. And when I think about something, it's not a matter of I'm thinking I have power. I have to consult this part of the mind, this intelligence that God gave me to see if I could figure it out. But Chochmah is Chochmah from Hashem. But since it's Chochmah from Hashem, so on the contrary, now that we have the knowledge of what is going to occur, now we have to use the Chochmah for our benefit. And this, which can seem like a tragedy, can be converted into a great good. You can become the wealthiest human that there is in existence. So you convert it into a gain. That's what I'm trying to call. The same thing is true over here, with regard to the idea of Gospel. Yes, there is a concept of Gospel. But what is the concept of Gospel? Gospel means a person is perfected by Torah. An individual has learned Torah, and has learned to become a perfected individual, and to be able to perceive Chochmas Hashem, and not to be involved, and to perceive it as a gift of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and not as an ego phenomenon. An individual like that is the one that's capable of making the best and most rational decision. That's why Gedolei Yisrael definitely have a place in decision-making process. That's Gospel. But it's not a mystical thing. It's not a mystical. It's a phenomenon like Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik is Gospel. Gospel was to take the 7 years of famine and convert them into a source of wealth. That was Gospel. It was work of coffee. But the Gospel that people think about today, they don't have such a concept of coffee. So therefore, since they're devoid of that idea, so they attach a mystical thing to the ghost. Don't get it. That's the power of it. That, I mean, is borders on it, similar to the idea of what Paro had,
It was Chachumim before Yosef came on the scene, before Yosef explained to him that this is not the way it works. It's a regression. It's not what that's called. That's what the Rav said. Yeah, the such thing is that there. But everything the Gadol says is not that power. In other words, it's not a mystical power. If you're looking for a mystical power, everything the Gadol says is not correct. When the Gadol consults the source of knowledge, the Chachma, yes, then he's in the best position to give a rational decision. That's that power. That's what that's called. Paro was converted. I mean, Paro was converted. And so Yosef Tzadik was not only ingenious in covering the Jew, he was ingenious in thinking about Paro, throwing his kingdom around, taking away from
it. It's not that Paro wasn't aware of the idea of God. Because I mentioned, the Rambam says, and Rashi says also, as Rashi in Freyosa, and that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah really believed in one supreme being. The only thing that what did Yahadis do was not the establishing the idea that there's one supreme being. That was even Dor Enosh. But what Yahadis established was the manner of relating to this supreme being. And the Rambam mentions this in many places. And it comes out that contrary to what most people think, Avodah Zarah and the belief in one supreme being is not a contradiction. It's not a contradiction. As a matter of fact, this idea is not just the Rambam's idea, it's Rashi also, Rashi and Treyasa. It was the beginning one of the very mentioned. But this idea is not just an idea of the Rambam and Rashi, but it's an idea to Pasuk in the Torah. Because by Lavan Arami, when Lavan Arami chased after Yaakov, so he set up the Gal. So what did he say? Exactly, like I mentioned last week. But you see from that pasuk itself, he said, "Elohei Avram, Elohei Nochar, Yishpitu Beinenu, Elohei Avim." Right. So this was Lavan Arami. So Lavan Arami was running after this trophy. So it was certainly an Ovid of Arzara, and yet he found no contradiction in placing in the same sentence. Elokei Avram, Elohei Nochar, Elohei Avim. So you see from the Torah itself that the idea in Yadis of monotheism is not the idea of the belief in one supreme being alone. I mean, this was something that was established before. And Lavan Aram was very comfortable with the idea of God and the idea of the Avodah Zarah as well. What Yadis did was the emphasis and the insistence on relating only to the supreme being, and not through any other mediums because that is primitivism. That's primitivism. Okay. And what you say? And what Yosef? That was exactly the lesson that Yosef taught Paro. When Yosef told Paro, he didn't merely interpret his dream, but he told him it'd be 7 bad years. So the mystics, the Chachamim would have said, it's a curse. 7 years is a curse. Either they say you have to abide by the curse, or you have to try to find some way of using some force to get around it. And Yosef HaTzadik says, no. The idea that it's a curse is a mystical notion, which is not correct. That's a primitive idea. All we have before us is what's going to happen. God gave us information, and now we have to act rationally on the contrary. We can convert this into the biggest success. That's what Yosef HaTzadik taught Paro. They taught him the idea of relating to God through Chokhmah alone. That was the concept. It's interesting, but Paro was very impressed. But nevertheless, I mean, you wonder about Paro. How much did he change? How much did Paro change? So, you see, from the Pesukim later, the Chazal later indicate that he didn't change. He was ambivalent about it. How do you know that? Pesuk says it's Mem Aleph, Pesuk Nun Hei. It says, Vatirav Kol Eretz Yisrael. They hungered because the 7 years of famine began. So Vatirav Kolar Sonra Yitzhak Omo Paralochum. Vayomar Paralochom Mitzrayim Lechu El Yosef. Asher Yom Alochem Tasek. Whatever he says you do. So Rashi mentions that Yosef insisted that they do milah. So they didn't want to do it. But Paro said, "V'alo hichriz lachem sh'shnei rov boim." So he said, "They said he told you already the shnei rov. What did you? Well, why did you prepare for the shnei rov?" So Amrulo, they said, "Asafnu harbe v'rekiva." We gathered together and it rotted. So he said, "Amalem and Cain kol asher yom lachem tasek." Hare gozal atuv v'rekiva my nidzor lein of an amos. So it seems that the Paro was still involved in his. In his primitive superstitions. Yeah, he couldn't. He was very impressed, and he liked it at the time, but he wavered. And there was also some resistance that he had to the idea of Yosef. Because Paro really just wanted to use Yosef for the knowledge that he had, and then discard him. That was really his idea. And, but the idea, he didn't want them to be dependent on Yosef. But of course, Yosef worked out a system with Chochmah of how to save the Torah. It wasn't just a simple thing. That's why their Torah rotted. That was a difficult thing to do, like Ibn Ezra said. In that country, it was very humid, and you hadn't know how to do it. So they tried, it didn't work. But you see that Paro did have had a lot of resistances to it. But he went along with it also. There's no kash. He was ambivalent about it. Okay. But anyways, that's the idea, really. That really shows you the difference. I mean, this encounter between Yosef and Paro shows you the difference between the primitive mind and between Yosef HaTzadik, who was guided by a Chachma, And we mentioned that the essence of all of Yadus is the pursuit of Yedias Hashem. Yedias Hashem means that you know God through Chachma alone. Like the Chavos Avos says, "Ad shelo te de'uhu ela b'derech raya bovad." That's what it means. But it's difficult to explain exactly. I mean, what Yedias Hashem is. Yedias Hashem is a personal involvement. There's certain guidelines that you can give for it, but ultimately it's a personal pursuit. It requires an investigative mind, and it also requires a great degree of honesty. I think the one that expressed it the best is the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim. The Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim. He says like this. He says it's in the 50th chapter, in the first book. He says, this one is page 67. He says, when reading my present treatise, bear in mind that by faith we do not understand merely that which is uttered with the lips, but also that which is apprehended by the soul. The conviction that the object of belief is exactly as it is apprehended. If, as regards real or supposed truths, you content yourself with giving utterance to them in words, without apprehending them or believing in them, especially if you do not seek real truth, you have a very easy task, as in fact you will find many ignorant people professing articles of faith without connecting any idea with them. Okay? If, however, you have a desire to rise to a higher state, that is, that of reflection, and truly to hold the conviction that God is one and possesses true unity, without admitting plurality or divisibility in any sense whatever, you must understand that God has no essential attribute in any form or in any sense whatever, and that the rejection of corporeality implies a rejection of essential attributes. Those who believe that God is one and that he has many attributes declare the unity with their lips and assume plurality in their thoughts. This is like the doctrine of the Christians, who say that he is one and he is three, and that the three are one. Of the same character is the doctrine of those who say that God is one, but he has many attributes. Okay, so the Rambam mentions this point, and he quotes a pasuk. The pasuk says, in the pasuk in Yirmiyahu 12:2, that what near in their mouth and far from their reins. Korvat al Fiam, Rochot Mikil Yasayim. So it means to say, that is really this chapter that the Rambam writes, you know what I mean? When you read the Rambam, you have to think into the Rambam, not just reading it. He has an important message here. But the message is that a person can profess the articles of faith and maintain that he believes in Avodas Hashem and Yigimu Korim and not really have an idea what they are. Such an individual, I'm not saying he's, you know, the Rambam says, you know, he's not a kofer, but he's not, like the Rambam says, he's not on the higher level. He's not, that's what the Rambam doesn't say he's a person that's insofar as Kedushas Yisrael is concerned is lacking. But the Rambam says that he says, if however you have a desire to rise to a higher state, that of reflection, and truly to hold the conviction that God is one, then he says that's Yedias Hashem, the beginning of Yedias Hashem. Rambam in the first book doesn't go into metaphysics. He goes into the basic ideas of Yedias Hashem. But you have to realize that it means to say, what it means is that a person has to search his soul and really has to make sure that his idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a proper one. Paro reverted back to his private notions. You see, his mystical notions, he was removed from the idea of God. He couldn't tolerate it. He couldn't accept it in a certain amount, but he couldn't tolerate it. That's what the Rambam says. There is a Chazal that's often misquoted. I just want to mention it to you. The Chazal is, and it's used a lot of times by certain people to indicate to the contrary, that a person shouldn't pursue knowledge of God. Okay? And that chazal is a chazal based on a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. It's simply many people think because of the quote of the chazal that chazal is saying that a person should remove himself from the Yedias Hashem. I'm sure you've heard it. It says they say halavai osi azavu ves tarasi shemar. Quote the chazal. Halavai osi azavu ves tarasi shemar. Right here.
Yeah.
Okay, you're familiar with
it.
It's Yishalmi. And they use it to indicate that what the Torah wants, that God is saying, halavai, you forget about me. In other words, don't involve yourself in metaphysical speculation and analogy of that. Just keep the Torah. Right? Am I right? Is that the right view? That's right. Okay. I just want to tell you that it's a total misrepresentation of that chazal. There is no such chazal, the way they're expressing it. There can't be. I mean, it's impossible. You realize it's impossible. I would go so far as to say that even if it was written, that way, you could not accept it. There's something wrong. We don't just accept something. You find the Gemara that says something could be written out, spelled out, but there's certain things that we don't know what it means. I mean, there's a basis that we operate on, not just any chazal you take literally. We'd be stumped if there was such a chazal, but there is no such chazal. Okay, it's in a chagiga really, and I think it might be worthwhile just to quote the chazal. All right. As a matter of fact, the intent of Chazal is exactly the reverse. Exactly the opposite. Okay? Here's the Chazal. Chazal, it's in Chagiga, Perek, Aleph, Halacha Zayin. Just like this. Vayoma Hashem al Ozva Mestarasi. Vayoma Hashem al Ozva Mestarasi. Okay? So, it says like this. It says, Amar Abchiya Barba, Osi Ozvu. The pasuk says Osi Ozvu. Okay, Osi Ozvu. So it says Osi Ozvu Avatra. The fact that they left me, it doesn't say, I don't have a magis alavai osiyazav. I know it's quoted that way. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Osiyazru avatra. The fact that they left me, I'll be mavatra, I'm echelon. Shemu as tarasi shamaro. If they would at least keep the Torah. Why? She'ilu osi ozvu v'tarasi shamaru, because if they would leave me and keep my Torah, ha'se'or sheba ha'yo mekarvon etzli. Okay? It says, osi ozvu avatra. She'em as tarasi shamaru. She'ilu osi ozvu v'tarasi shamaru. It's based on the pasuk. See, the pasuk is like this. The pasuk says, "Va'amarta aleihem." It's pasuk in Yot Tezayin Yidala. "Va'amarta aleihem." It says like this. That It says the pasuk before says, "V'hoya kisagid lo mazeis kolat va'meila." When you tell the these terrible things that are going to happen, "V'amru alecha amed dibar Hashem aleinu es kol hara hagadol azos." Why did God say this about us? Why does God say that this terrible tragedy is going to happen? What is the sin? Apparently, you see that in Ummah, it's an amazing thing. As I mentioned that with regard to the Holocaust. That people have a very simple notion about faith. They think that when a person is a sinner, he knows. So people say, look, I don't know. My conscience is clear. My conscience is clear, so I'm not a chotei. That is not what Yadis holds. Yadis maintains a person can feel totally at peace with himself, and it can be a serious chayta. Serious chayta. The conscience is not the barometer, you see. So just because, that's why I mentioned with regard to the Holocaust, just because people don't know what the chayt was that caused it, doesn't mean that there's no chayta. They can feel totally secure about it. And that's what Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Pasuk says. Because they'll say, "Umei avoneinu, umei chataseinu, shechotanu l'Hashem lakeinu." Apparently, Klal Yisrael didn't understand what's the chay. What does God want from us? They felt they're doing everything right, 100%. V'amata aleihem, so you should tell them, "Ala asher ozvu avoseichem osinu Hashem," because they left me. Vayelchu acharei elohim acherim vayavdim leishtachu lahem. All right. Apparently, it wasn't just a simple thing of a ma'aseh avodah zarah. If it was a simple ma'aseh avodah zarah, so they would have known about it. Our Torah says, we're bowing down to an idol, is a mice of Avodah Zarah, four levels of Avodah. So, he says like this, "V'osi ozavu," the Pasuk says, "Ves torasi lo shamar." Okay. So what bothered Chazal was, why does it say, "V'osi ozavu, ves torasi lo shamar"? But the Pasuk says clearly what? That what was the chait? "Al asher ozva v'osechem osi." That was the chait. On the contrary, the chait was that they left God. Okay? But the pasuk in the end says, "V'osi ozovo v'estaros lo shemor." So Chazal perceived there's a redundancy here. Why does it say, "V'osi ozovo v'estaros lo shemor"? You said already, Osiozovo. What does it mean, "V'estaros"? Does it make any sense? If it's "Osi ozovo," so that's it. That's the end of the whole Torah. No. "Osi ozovo," but it says further, "V'estaros lo shemor." As if to say that keeping the Torah without God is a level. So Chazal say, what does that mean? That's why Chazal say like that. They say, "Halavai osi ozovu v'estarasi shamar." And what it means to say is that it doesn't mean halavai that this is the state that God is looking for in terms of perfection. You understand? Chas v'sholom. The state is Yedias Hashem. But what God was saying through the Navi was that if at least they would have kept the Torah, so it says, so hasa'or sheba ma'zir l'mutar. It means they'd have a chance, like the Pnei Moshe says the pshat is. Let me take shalal l'shma bo l'shma. But not only, but bo l'shma. It means they would be acting shalal l'shma, which is not proper. But still, the tragedy would not have been accomplished. Because of the fact that at least if a person is within the system of Torah, so he has a good chance. The Torah is built in a certain way, structured a certain way, that it, even if a person has crazy ideas, but the Torah can bring him back to the true idea of God. But it doesn't mean to say, halavai, that that's the state that God is looking for. That's impossible. It's ridiculous. It's an absurd idea. So this Chazal, which is quoted, is misquoted. It's the exact opposite. It's the exact opposite in the Pasuk, and it's the exact opposite in the Chazal. It's an amazing thing. I don't know how... Well, the Egel Zavis is the best raya. The best raya. That a belief in one supreme God and Avodah Zarah can coexist. Plus, they didn't deny God. Ela... So they said the contrary. But it meant, and then Chazal say, El Elohecho Yisrael, they say the what? Elohos Harbe Ivulahem. Ivulahem. It means that man has a primitive desire to have many, many gods, a god for every occasion. You see, by the Goyim Lahatu, they have a protective saint, patron saints of the road, of the healing, of the thing. Well, because that's what a person wants, a certain emotional security that a person draws from such an idea, which Yadus utterly prohibits. And that's what Be'egel is of, the Lohos Harbe Iveloh. They were looking for that kind of emotional security. That's the essence of Avodah Zarah. But what I'm saying, what I'm telling you is like this. I'm telling you that Yedias Hashem, even if a person is not, but he maintains, the principles of Yadus. But what the Rambam says is very important, that a person can maintain things, Koravata Befihem, Pasuk says, V'rochot Nekiliyasei. It means to say that a person can maintain certain things, but as long as he doesn't have an accurate idea of exactly what those things mean, he just enunciates it and verbalizes it, he is not really on the level of the Yedias Hashem. He hasn't had no relationship with Yedias Hashem. Really means a person making a thorough search, and not only a thorough search, but a revision of his personality in relationship to the God that he believes in. And he has an accurate idea insofar as he's capable of Yedias Hashem. Talking about last week about the idea of true chesed. The idea of true chesed. Okay? And true chesed, we mentioned that the fact that Klal Yisrael is so splintered up, so many divisions, is really because of the fact that they have false notions. And false notions lead to heated political controversy, conflict. And just to give you an example, you see what goes on there at Cicero today between the Fruma and the Freya. Okay? So, yeah. Now, the truth of the matter is that the Freya is not too much talk about this. I mean, they have their... they have nothing to do with the Torah. So, I can't talk about this. But the Frum people, see, now again, I mean, I'm not really an expert, and I don't spend much time in political issues. I just don't have the time for it. But on the surface, whatever I say is just basically on the surface, okay? But the true attitude, what should the attitude of a religious Jew be towards a non-religious Jew? I mean, we see today that it's an attitude of tremendous hatred. So if the non-Frum Jew wants to go to a movie on a Friday night, this causes an unbelievable conflict. Yeah. Storm of conflict. And the truth of the matter is that the attitude of the religious Jew, if he sincerely believes that what he has is of the greatest value, like David HaMelech says, so he's a very fortunate person. And the one that doesn't have it is a very unfortunate person. So his attitude should be towards a non-religious Jew is that of Rachmanis. Rachmanis. That should be the proper attitude. I mean, unless you really don't believe that this is... that you're very fortunate that you happen to have... that you have such treasures. But if you really believe that... So why should you have hatred and animosity towards a Jew that's not religious? It doesn't make any sense. This is an unfortunate person. You realize what the true ideas have done for your life and how fortunate you are. So the only natural attitude would be that this person is Rachmanis. But that attitude does not exist. On the contrary, there's a hatred. The only reason to be a hatred is if you think that you're burdened down with keeping these things, and he's free, and he's free, and I hate him because he's getting away with it. Then the friar, he's free. Exactly. You're right. That's very good. That's right. You're right. The front people should be called the friar. Exactly. Well, you see, but the problem stems from the fact that the idea is a corrupt one. So then it becomes. So then what happens is it becomes a personal thing. It's my way of doing things against your way of doing things. So you're not going to bring. You're going to go to the movie in my district. So this is, I can't tolerate this. I mean, why can't he tolerate it? I mean, he had so much rahmanis that when he sees a Jew coming out of a movie on Friday night, he's going to start crying. I mean, it's at a very high level. Yes. The strife and the conflict stems from absolute ignorance. On the contrary. Movies are wonderful things. They institute movies all over Eretz Yisrael every Friday night. 6-hour, 8-hour movies. So that they'll sit there and won't be Machal Shabbos. That'll be a wonderful thing. It's what the Pasuk, it's what Yirmiyahu says. Korovato b'fihem v'rochot mikil yaseya. That's what I mean. That's the state. Okay. Yeah. So it mentions a number of times that we do believe that there is a mitzvah of sinner. Hatred is not a bad thing. Hatred is a mitzvah. You say it 3 times a day. So that's enough there to show that you wouldn't say this about a person that you have any kind of feelings towards. But I want you to understand something. Hatred is a mitzvah, but the concept of hatred is a different one than what people think. The concept of hatred is not impersonal. It's not a personal hatred. So people only work with their emotional basis, their emotional foundation. And as soon as they see a mitzvah, so immediately they attach their emotion. They lock their mind. That's the mitzvah. Hate. I know what hate is. That's it. But that's not what it is. Okay? Hatred in Yadus is a different idea. It means that a person that really has an ava, for an avas of brios, must have a feeling of animosity and hatred towards that which is destroying them. So the hatred is an abstract kind of a hatred. It's a different concept of hate. You know what I mean? I know even among the front people, a lot of, and even among Rosh Hashivas and Rebbeim, I mean, I've heard it mentioned, like people say, like, we shouldn't even talk about it. One person was a Rosh Masechta, you know, so, we can't talk about that, because that's, it's you know, it's destroying a nation, you know what I mean? We should try to, like, hide that. We're ashamed of that mitzvah. I'm telling you, this is the feelings among many kids. But the reason is because they don't have any concept of what it means. It is not the hatred that people experience on a daily basis. That is not the idea. It's not that hatred. The person, if an individual has a personal hatred, that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah of hatred is an abstract kind of hatred, and you have to perceive what it means first before you even think about how it benefits mankind or whatever. You have to understand what it means first. What it means is a different concept. The idea of hatred is nothing on the contrary. The idea of avon, the idea of hatred, is not on a personal level at all. You see, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha has nothing to do with your personal feelings towards anybody. Your cronies don't come first. V'ahavta l'recha kamocha. On the contrary, the mitzvah of prika by a sonny. Okay. But the idea of hatred is an abstract idea. It means to say that the person loves, has such an avas of brios, loves humanity to such a degree that he can't tolerate the destructive forces, and he realizes the benefits that humanity would have were it not for these false ideas that are being promulgated by these individuals. And that's why it says, L'amashim al tisikor. It is not a personal thing, but an individual who is not on that level and is just on a low emotional level can identify with it and fool himself into thinking that he's being mekayemdus, that he's being mekayemdus mitzvah. And that's why, before you even investigate what the area of kanos is, the Torah has kanos, but you have to investigate it. A person has to know, be in touch with what it means first, what the meaning of it is. It's a subtle idea. It has nothing to do with the people getting emotionally upset about the. That's just a common base emotion. That's Yitzra Hara, Chazal say. That's Yitzra Hara. But there is such a thing as a philosophical concept of nature that Yadis endorses and that Yadis holds to, and it has to be, if a person thinks about it, it must be that way. There has to be a feeling of animosity towards something that destroys an individual, a human being, something that destroys mankind. It's a different concept. What? Yeah, that's right. That's what she said, really. She said to him that he can't be personally involved in. It has to be the abstract idea. Yes. It becomes difficult to use words here, because when we say emotions, we mean emotions in two senses. If you mean emotions in terms of the does it stem from the emotion? Yeah, you definitely. You don't work without emotions. Emotions, there's no, you can't move without psychic energy. But it's talking. But in terms of the emotion, is it a personal emotional hatred because this guy's doing something that I can't stand him for because I hate him? That's not what it means. That's not what it means. It means, you see, the avas habrios demand. The person is avas and brios, it demands that he has to hate that which is destroying the brios. It's not a halacha that we don't just hold simply. I mean, lahavdil, the goyim couldn't understand anything deeper than an emotional thing. So that's why I say you have to love all people. You know, but we don't maintain such a thing. We don't maintain that you have to love every person no matter what kind of a rush there is. On the contrary, you know, the hatred is the proper way to deal with a rush. But it means that his ava. What is Avas Abrios? Avas Abrios means, is based on Avas Hashem. And it's based on Avas Hashem, it means that it's the exact same thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah in order that we should be able to accomplish. Which means that it's God's will that man should live in the proper way, according to his nature, and have a happy existence. So those who are destroying that type of a situation have to be uprooted. Unless they change. I mean, of course, if they change, we'd be very happy. If they did tshuva, naturally, we'd be very happy if they did tshuva. But in the event that they don't, and there's no alternative, they must be uprooted. But it's not because you hate them personally, but because you have an avas abrios for the rest of the world that's the basis. That's why it's motivated by. It's totally motivated by an avas abrios. That's the idea. It was an avas abrius. Every person has to have avas abrius. Can't just have. If you have avas Yisrael, not avas abrius, there's something wrong. You don't have the right idea, because that idea is based upon an emotional, personal thing. This is my clique. This is my group, and I love my group, and we hate anybody that's outside of our group. That is not the. That's not the concept of avas Yisrael. Avas Yisrael is a specific in avas abrius. If you have avas abrios, so then you must have a very special ava for Yisrael, who is the one that is going to bring about, that is involved in bringing about the true good for the brios. So that's why avas Yisrael, insofar as that's concerned, avas Yisrael is greater, but it's not greater in the sense that it's a different phenomenon. You understand what I mean? It's basically the underlying phenomenon is avas abrios. The underlying phenomenon, not Avas Yisrael. It's Avas Abrios. Avas Yisrael takes place within the framework of Avas Abrios because of the fact that Yisrael is the arm, is the nation that does the greatest good for the Brios. So that's why you must have, if you have an Avas Abrios, you must have a special relationship to Yisrael. Because Yisrael is the one that is involved to the highest degree. Nobody else is involved. Only Am Yisrael is involved as an Ummah, a as an Ummah. No one else is as an Ummah as involved besides Klal Yisrael in bringing about the good for the Bria.
Yes.
So you see, and I guess you see it from Mesis. From Mesis. Mesis, it says open. In the Torah, yeah. Right open in the Torah. That Yisisko is a Be'achicho, Be'nimecho, Oeshes Pekecho, is the closest one. Lo Sachmo, Lo Sachas, Olov. Can't have any rachmanis on this person, no matter how personally you're involved with this man, how much you love this person personally. You can't have any rachmanis on him, and you have to uproot him. Why? Because this individual, that's where you see the conflict. The Torah in that case is expressing the conflict between the personal and between the ideological. The personal hatred, personal love, and ideological hatred and ideological love. That's the conflict. By Mesis, a person has a Mesis in his family, that's when he's up against the conflict between his personal feelings and between his ideological feelings. That's what Yadus, I mean, the Gaon Lavov have gone around with the idea of love, which doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. It's a fraud anyway. It doesn't exist. And then it's a shallow thought. I mean, and Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, they don't. On the whole, they don't know. They're not mulamadim. They don't know. They think that's what they associate that thing with our system. It has nothing to do with it. Okay. There's another point about the difference between true chesed and between chesed on an emotional level. True chesed is where you perceive the good. This is the good. It's a good in terms of the bria. It's not a personal good. It's a good because I have an avas abrios. It's a part of God's plan. It's an avas akadosh baruch hu. It's part of the system. That's the true idea of chesed. And the difference is like this. An emotional chesed, you say, emotional chesed and emotional justice could never really be equal. In other words, if you are any person that's involved in an emotional chesed will have to, by necessity, give himself a greater share of what he considers to be equal than the other person. It can never work out equally. If a person's chesed is on an emotional level, of necessity, as kind as he is always closer to himself. And therefore, that's really the source of many conflicts. Because people are fair. Most people are pretty fair. But the only thing is that they're always a little more fair. You see? Whenever it comes to something that's not gay to themselves, and they don't mean to do it intentionally, they don't see it. Because in the emotional sphere, the mind isn't working, it's just the emotions. It has to, of necessity, work out that way. Because Adam Carver, it's a lot smaller. I mean, it's impossible. Unless a person is something wrong with him, psychologically, I don't know. He has some kind of a conflict, a guilt conflict. That's a person that's distorted. I mean, a normal person will always have to be a little bit better to himself. See? And who realized that? You know, it's an interesting thing. But you see, by Yosef HaTzadik, Yosef HaTzadik realized that very well. Because what did he do? He instituted the rationing system. Okay. You see, what he did was he instituted the rationing system, and he made Paro very very rich. Because after the rationing system, he introduced the tax system. Okay. If you take a look at the way Yosef HaTzadik introduced the tax system, you see it was done with tremendous chachma. He didn't just levy a tax. See, you notice people get very angry when they start levying taxes on them. They're too happy about that. So the politicians always have a difficulty with this. You know, I'm not going to raise taxes. I will raise taxes. You know what I mean? The thing is, people don't like, the whole country came bad because of the people who resent the taxation. Okay. What? Tea party. Okay. What's the tea party? But anyways, the taxation is a very delicate, if not impossible, kind of a situation. But Yosef HaTzadik, with his chachma, he recognized this. So he realized that you can't just levy a tax on people. And he realized also you can't just subordinate people. People think that a melech was a melech was in total control, he was a king, and it's not true. I mean, it's silly, because he always has to be concerned about the subjects. The subjects aren't happy, they overthrow him. So a good leader, good melech, even in a monarchy, I mean, he has to be sensitive to people's to the way people are. He can't work with people that way. He'll throw you over. So Yosef HaTzadik wanted to levy a tax, 20% tax, which is we would consider very fair. But even the 20% income tax that he levied, he did it in a way of tremendous chachma.